Now our scripture is in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 6, and I'm going to invite Deacon to help us to read the scripture together.
The scripture today is from Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 6. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and sent me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw great many bones of the floor on the floor of the valley of bones, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and put flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put my breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful because you are that God who brings life. And we pray that today may your word bring to our lives meaning, and may your word be the one that also transforms us. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Very good. We are still in this wonderful book of Ezekiel. The more I know it, the more I am falling in love with Ezekiel. So when I get to heaven, one of the first people I'm going to meet, I want to look for Ezekiel. And I said, "I'm so in love with you guys because you are everything I like of a man. You are a man of God and you are a nerd. And that for me qualifies for you as an awesome man." And one of the things about we have learned about this book is how it's almost like this show and tell. It's a lot of things, a lot of visuals. That's why we have several visuals. And I'm going to show you my show and tell that we have here that is really connected to the topic of today. This is Mr. Bones, James Bones. You see, this guy is, he was given a hand and he lost it in the way. But this is actually one present that one of these beautiful members of the church who have become almost adopted grandmothers to my children gave this to Pedro long ago. And it's pretty interesting. I am not a doctor. I wish a doctor could tell me how accurate this one is. But it also helped me to understand how the complexity of the bones are and also how specific they are. But how powerful is our God to put things in the right place so we can function in our body? So this has a lot to do with the topic that we have today in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was this prophet, and something happened because I'm in the end and I'm just starting my sermon. Wait a minute. I probably clicked it when I was in the process of, wait, just don't think this is happening. And then I will go. Okay, here we are with Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, as you can remember, he was one of the major prophets. Why do you call it major prophet? It's not because he was taller or bigger. It's because his book is longer. It's actually 48 chapters. Do you remember which are the major prophets? There are four. Jeremiah. So the book Lamentations is another. Okay, who's the first one? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel and? Daniel, very good. Give me five, guys. You got that one. Yeah. Now, the name of Ezekiel means God will strengthen. And it makes a lot of sense how his name is actually modeling what he was trying to tell to the people of Israel. He's also compared to a watchman, a person that is kind of protecting and trying to protect, in this case, through all what he was saying in prophecy, through the way he was explaining to people. This is the way that you need to come back to the Lord and to guide your life. He also needed to confront false prophets. And that was very common that happened at that season, where there were some prophets who just wanted to have, you know, the approval of people. So they will come and tell them, you know, yeah, you're going through a difficult situation. And as you remember, Ezekiel is in the time when the people of God were on exile. They were like deported. Or kind of what makes me always think is like with the Nazis and the camps with the Jewish people, very similar. So they were deported in Babylon, and they really were suffering in there. So there were some prophets kind of coming and saying, everything is going to be cool. Do not worry. You know, everything is fine. And many times Ezekiel told them, you are not saying the truth. You are like foxes, he says. You are foxes because you are just trying to get and try to be nice just to see what can you get as from the people. And One of those works also made him very unpopular. But what he was doing is, instead of just telling what they wanted to hear, he was telling them the truth. Don't you value a friend who, even though the truth is difficult, you rather the truth than somebody who's just saying something to you because he wants to be nice to you? So here we find Ezekiel telling the truth. And what we find today is probably the most popular text of Ezekiel, and maybe of the Old Testament, one of those really well known, because it's when we talk about the dry bones. How many of you have known about this scripture? It's very intense. It actually has a lot of deep meaning. I want to hear you through this video, because it sounds very special when you hear it also like this.
The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the voice of the Lord. I will make breath into you and you will come to life.' Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath and say to it, 'Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army."
It's almost like we read it, but when you start thinking about all the implications and all this process, it's very special. Now remember, this is a vision. And it's important to remember that, because then people are using this like, you know, that the scripture is talking that they are, you know, aliens in another part of the world. And now the only, you have an alien in front of you, and I'm a Mexican alien, but I'm a legal alien, and that's another thing. But yeah, he's not talking about that. He's talking about a different point. It's about the meaning of what it is in here. And what he's talking is this. He's talking about how it's bringing life to these bones, to this very difficult scene. But to be able to get there, sometimes we want to rush to the end and say, you know, how wonderful is that this dry bone suddenly had life. But to be able to get there, there was a process that all of the people who are reading it, they need to see. But it's also a process that we need to learn, that when we want to see life, we need to go through a process. When we want to find in our life restoration, we need to go through a process. And part of the process is, the first thing is, we need to face death. We need to face that Ezekiel was in this location where he just saw all these bones. And the scripture says almost like, I can see him like flying upon them, because it says, it took me back and forth, just looking at all this scene. And I bet this is a difficult scene. Think about it. It's just, these bones are just sitting in there, people, representing people that die in that place. What we learn through this in here is that it shows you the difficulty of the people of Israel at that time. Rolf Jacobson says, "The exile was more than just a crisis of physical suffering and communal identity. It also necessitated a crisis of faith. The key symbols of Judean faith, Jerusalem, its temple, its people, and the Davidic monarchy had been destroyed." So what we are doing in this place, and what Ezekiel is being faced through, what God is asking, is saying, you know, the people of Israel are going through a difficult time, a horror time. This scene of the bones, we probably take it sometimes lightly because we're watching too much about CSI and those kind of things. But think about if you were really confronted to that and just looking And looking at that and thinking, these were people. This is representing death on these people. And what we find through what Rolf is saying is, it is what that was what they were feeling. They were feeling like dry bones. And it's very specific of saying dry bones, meaning they have been dead and gone for a while. What it shows us in here is a sense of despair. The people of Israel were feeling like that. They were recognizing we are right now in a place of despair, of sadness. We have lost our identity as the people of God. We lost our home. We lost our place where we were. And now we are here as strangers of a different land. They needed to come to that conclusion. The scripture that we have today in the verse 11, it says, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel.' They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.'" This is a very difficult place to be, but it's a beginning of healing. This is a place where they can realize where we are is not healthy. Where we are does not bring life. We need to change. That's a very mature place to be. How many times we have been confronted with something that we did in our past, something we're carrying in our lives, and we're still carrying it because we do not want to confront the fact of saying, at this point, I need to change. At this point, I can see that the decisions that I have been taking, they are taking me to a place that are going to hurt me. Have we been there? And how we try to extend it and justify God is because, you know, the chupacabras came and tried to take me. I mean, we find every excuse to try to avoid that location of saying we need to confront where we are. We are dry. We are in need of help. We are in a need of transformation. I remember one time when I was a teacher in a school, and there was this little boy who got in trouble. And I was working at the office, and I remember the principal called him. And you could see his face. I mean, he was pale. And you could see that in his head, probably he thought, I'm going to get in trouble with the teacher. For sure there is a chanclazo from my mom coming, and goodbye soccer team on Sunday. I mean, I could see that coming on his brain. And there was a person there who also saw that child going through all this despair, as we saw. And the person gave a very wise advice to this child. Because when this person asked, "Are you in trouble?" And the boy says, "Yes, I am." The person told to this boy, "You know, when you go with the principal, don't fight back. Recognize your mistake. And I assure you that that's going to help you." So the little boy went inside and was talking with the principal. And I assure you that was probably the shortest meeting I have ever seen of a principal with a child. As soon as that meeting was over, I could see the child with the biggest smile, and he could kind of breathe and recover his color because it seems that he followed the instruction. I saw the little child looking at the person who gave the advice saying, "Thank you." So what happened is the child was put in a place of maturity, of saying, recognize your need. And in this case was, "You know, I did a mistake, and I am sorry. I am not going to fight it. I'm not going to excuse it. I'm going to accept where I am." And the people of Israel were there. Now, with Ezekiel, we find two great things here. One of the very first verses that we read, it says, "He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.'" Guys, if there is one part of the Bible that I will recommend you to remember is that very last statement. Can we say it together? "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." This is one of the most powerful and wisest answers that you could ever have before God. So you see, we have God asking to Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, you see these bones? Can they come alive? What will be your answer?" Now, being me and not that wise, my answer will be like, "Are you kidding, God? Can you see them? They are dead, really dead and dry. So why are you asking me this?" Because I'm not Ezekiel. But you see, when Ezekiel is answering this and he's asking that question and answering in that way, he sees two different realities. He sees the reality of the need. He's aware. He's not denying it. That's very important. He's saying, you know, these are really dry bones. They have been here for a while. He sees that. But there is something else that Ezekiel sees. He also sees with the reality of that painful situation, at the same time, he's seeing the power of God who's asking the question. And instead of focusing on the dry bone, he's looking at it. But he's focusing more in the power of who is the one that is asking the question. So when God is confronting us to something that we need to deal, I will recommend you, and I will ask that to myself of saying, when God is telling me, do you see that it's possible to change here, Lupina? Can we change the Mexican? Can we make the Mexican more patient, Lupina? Instead of me telling God, God, you have known me for 45 years and it seems it's not working. Instead of focusing on that, focus on, but God, you are that sovereign God asking the question for a purpose. It reminds me one scene in the New Testament with Jesus. And there is this guy, there was this belief of an angel coming that he will move the waters of one place and people will receive healing. So we have this guy who's trying to get to the water and he can't. But here is Jesus. Jesus himself is asking this. Jesus asks, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am on my way, someone else goes in before me. Just think about how he's answering. Was that the question that Jesus asked? What did Jesus ask? Do you want to get well? That's such a Lupina answer. You see, like, Lupina, do you want to heal? Do you want direction? God, I'm lost. And it's like, God again. I'm telling you, do you want direction? God, I don't find the road. No, that's not the question. Do you want to get well? And then we can see the answer of God here. So here is Jesus asking in that. And there are many times when we're going to find God asking us that question. Do you want to have life? But look who's asking. So the part of that healing process is to remember who's asking the question. The second part is this. After we recognize where we are, we can see that there is a purpose from God to restore us. But that takes time. All of this, as we saw in this little movie, we can see how it takes time. And I personally would think that was a kind of creepy scene. If you think about suddenly, you know, and all the moving and the sounds and all the people suddenly moving. But there was something in here too that we need to remember. While all of this is happening, it's also like how this flesh is coming together and how all these bones are coming together. All of this happening with a purpose. And the scripture says the very last verse here, then you will know that I am the Lord. Now, within this purpose, there are three things that we need to remember. Sometimes in the process of healing, in the process when God is asking you, do you want to heal? Do you need power to change? Do you want to confront that situation? To get to the end is going to take time. You see, it didn't say the bones were dry and suddenly in 1 second people, yoo-hoo, stood up and everybody ready. It was a process. It was a process, step by step. There will be times when you and I are going to come to God and say, God, I need you. Yes. And while he's going to take us through that, it's going to be a process. But it's not going to be fun and sometimes scary, as we can see in this text. But the process will bring healing. The process also is going to bring change. And many times when we need to confront something, the change of the environment, the change of our lives is going to make an impact on the people that surround us and the way we see life. But also to be able to get there, we also need the power of God. And that's probably one of the most important aspects of this part of the scripture. I love what it says here. Thus the Lord God says to these bones, behold, I will cause what? Breath to enter to you, and you shall live. That's a very important aspect of this. You see, I'm learning a lot of idioms, as I have shared with you, since I have been in this country. And I remember telling you about the one that says, it's something robbing, Abel telling me, something is robbing me in the wrong way. And I'm like, Abel, who's robbing you? And how come is something in the wrong way? That's just creepy, you know. So I'm hearing a lot of these kind of things. But this one, he showed it to me. And it says, sometimes you have to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and keep on going. Have you heard it before? But you know that if we think about it as Christians, this is really wrong in many ways. Because while perhaps the intention is to say, you know, you just need to grow up and do it in your own and you can do this. There is something that as Christians we always need to remember, that sometimes our goals to get there, actually always, is something that we cannot accomplish in our own ways. I love this quote by Patricia, is one of the professors in one of the seminaries. It says, only grace fills the gap between what we are made for, God's purpose, and what we ourselves can manage. You see that? It is God's grace that comes and is the one through his grace that we are capable to move to what we have said, you know, this is all what I can do. Well, from there, the grace of God pulls us not to what is your plan or your goal, but to pull you to where God's plan is for you and for my life. So what we see here is that God provides what we need to be able to have that life. The first thing is that he provides life. You see here, I don't expect you to read all of this, but I want you to see the color yellow. Do you see that? Every yellow that you can find in there is 10 times in these verses. It has the word ruach in Hebrew. That means life. So the first thing that we learn in here is that we have a God who says to us, I'm willing to bring life to you. The only way where you're going to be able to go from a dry bone to life is when the Spirit of God is the one who brings life to you. And through that life, a gift from God, then you will be able not just to be a body, but to be alive. There are times when you're going to say, why, if I'm doing everything right, if my life, I'm trying to make things in the right way, I'm trying to accomplish everything in the right moment, but I still do not find that joy. I still don't get it. I still feel that something is not quite in the right place. Have you been there? Maybe because what happened is we're trying to accomplish that in our own ways, and we have forgotten that God is just standing next to you and me saying, do you want to live? Do you need the Spirit of God in what you're doing? You're accomplishing that in what you can, and that's limited. But when you allow the Spirit of God, the one taking you, then you can come to life. And he's offering that to you and to me. But he also offers a heart. The scripture says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That's the promise of God. Those are the moments, I confess to you, there was one time that I was really bitter with one person. And the reason I was bitter is because in my head, that person was disrespectful to ministry. And I can get and I can accept people complaining to me, saying things about me. But when I hear somebody disrespecting ministry, something that for me is really hard to accept. So I was bitter with that person. But God was telling me that bitterness is getting on the way. Do you want to heal? And I kept telling to God, you know what? I can do and this is really hard. I cannot do. And God was asking, do you want to heal? And there was one moment when I just opened my arms and I said, God, I don't even know what I am feeling capable to complain to this man. I'm also a human who does mistake. Yes, I want to heal. You need to change my heart. And it was almost like a wind of a miracle that I could feel the power of God just pulling that anger and giving peace. It is possible to have that heart. And the last thing is that we have hope in our God. It is the hope that we have, as we can read in the last part of the scripture, when it says, those who were dead, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that the Lord has spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. So what we have as that assurance is that the Spirit of God is the one that brings hope and meaning to our lives. 1 Corinthians says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put what? His Spirit where? In our hearts, as a deposit guaranteeing what it is to come. So the invitation today is, perhaps we have seen a lot of dry bones in our lives today. Maybe in your personal life there are places where you say, God, I want to tell you personally, I am not going to make it in this. This is dry. This is difficult. I just feel dead. It's hard for me just to stand up and keep going. But I want you to hear the question that God is asking. He's asking, do you want to live? Not to survive, but do you want to live? And I encourage you to answer, not trying to justify or explain, but answer and say, yes, God, I want to live. Bring life. And accept the Spirit of God coming upon you. And through that, find the power to find that difference. I encourage you to do that as a person. But I also encourage you to do that as a person who belongs to this country. And together we can say, God, there are places in this place, in our country, in our story, that are dry bones. But as a member of this country, I say, yes, God, we want to live. We need your Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to invite you where you are. Let's just have this word of prayer. Lord, you have heard our voices. You have heard where we feel dry. You know where it's even for us difficult to recognize who we were before all of this dry situation that we are living. But today, God, in the name of Jesus, we answer to your question. Sovereign Lord, you are the one who knows the best. We submit to you and we accept your Spirit. We accept your heart and we need your hope. And allow us through that to be able to have a life that is exactly your plan. And a life that is full of your glory and your peace. And we accept this presence as the way that you have shown to us your love, as a present of your grace. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand up and let's hold each other's hands to receive this benediction. Now may we all hear. Say yes to the Lord, yes to his Spirit, yes to his heart, and yes to his hope. Receive that from God and be transformed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you guys. Shalom.